All set, Adam? Okay, I think we can begin. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming.
I didn't see that.
We'd like to welcome our new member. Our old member has become a new member, Dr. Barry Sample, Chairman of the State Gaming Commission, who's with us for the first time here today. And I note the presence of a quorum. Dr. Sample is here, Jill Labossier, Senator Nolan, Jeff Canizzo, Kyle Flannery, Tracy Egan, myself, Joe McMahon, John Graciano, Jackie Moody, and Phil Birch. So noting the presence of a quorum, we can proceed to number two on the agenda, consideration of minutes from the August 8th, 2017 meeting. The minutes have been distributed to all of the members. Are there any suggested changes, amendments, questions, or the like? Hearing none, I take a motion to approve the minutes. Motion by Member Graciano, seconded by Member McMahon. All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. The third item, consideration of the 2017 year-to-date financial statements. Jill.
What you've got in front of you is the October year-to-date through October 2017. This was also emailed to everybody in mid-November. It shows October was slightly better than what we had budgeted from, and it allowed the fund a small surplus at the year end. If you look at the yellow in the on the far right, what we've got right now year-to-date is. Revenues down about $254,000 more than what we had budgeted, but awards are also down by about $233,000 more than we had budgeted, which kind of gives us a wash year. Just for comparison purposes, awards are approximately the same as they were in 2016. They're about $20,000 higher than they were. We have gotten some preliminary numbers in from Resorts World for November. Unfortunately, even though some of the new machines have been added, the revenues aren't really showing yet. We are about $56,000 lower than what we had budgeted for November, but I'm thinking this is going to pick up. This is going to be a slow process to get those machines, where they're earning the revenues and bringing the numbers back up. The awards, however, for November, the awards were also under what we had budgeted by a substantial amount of money. So it's still, I'm anticipating November we're going to be better than what we had budgeted for the month of November. And as a, looking out to the end of the year, I'm thinking that we're going to end the year with a very small surplus, probably around the $100,000 mark. So just to keep it in mind, I don't think we'll have any issue paying that 10% holdback that we have, but there's not going to be a lot of money to pay supplemental bonuses, and the fund will have to determine what it wants to do with that money.
Jill, could you just explain that 10% holdback again?
What that is, because we don't know our revenues during the year, we pay out our awards during the year, we pay out 90% of the awards. And then once we know we have sufficient revenues, we distribute the other 10%, usually the first quarter of the following year.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Any other questions on the financial statements?
The surplus, what are our choices that we could do with that surplus?
Usually it's either some kind of a supplemental bonus to either one or all of the award categories, or as a purse enrichment. Usually when it's a smaller amount, at least in my history since I've been here, I think in 2013 it was about $20,000-$30,000, and it was just distributed as a purse enrichment between the two entities, NIRA and Finger Lakes. Yeah.
What can we roll over? Is that like $50,000?
Yeah, 75.
We're limited at the 75, which is what we're at right now. So we pretty much have to distribute everything that we have as a surplus. We can't keep any of it.
Did we have this last year?
We had a significant surplus last year that we paid out in a purse enrichment to Finger Lakes and NIRA. That was where Finger Lakes received that $1.5 million.
I gotcha. Yep.
Right.
it all comes rushing back.
And remind us how much we paid NYRA.
For the 2016 surplus, we paid them a little over $1 million. Okay. So that was split the 60-40.
Okay.
Good. Thank you, Jill. Any other questions for Jill? We'll take a motion to approve the October 2017 financial statements. Motion by Member Birch, seconded by Mr. Graziano. All in favor?
Aye.
The statements are approved.
Aye, Joe.
Number four, consideration of the promotional budget. Dr. Wilmot had a death in the family, so he won't be joining us this morning, but Tracy is prepared to present item four.
I want to remind everybody that the board agreed a few years ago that the promotional committee could agree to spend up to the level of $25,000. So some of these are above that figure. Therefore, we need to bring it to the entire board for consideration. The Blood Horse, our contract with them is actually for about $73,000, but then there's a little extra room if we have horses, New York breds, on the Derby Trail or, you know, Breeders' Cup, we can have a little bit of extra spend there. Capstone is, that's an estimate. There's not a contract to pay her that much. It depends on what, how much work there is. Daily Racing Form, there's no contract with them. We just spend the money as events, meaning the horses dictate. What's new this year is the NYRA Saratoga and Belmont Live broadcasts, which will be this year supporting Belmont in the spring, Saratoga in the summer, and Belmont in the fall. We'll cover all of that. In order to come up with money to do that, we had to stop spending money elsewhere because the promotional budget was hit by about $120,000 loss because of the decreased revenues. So we reduced the Thoroughbred Daily News from $100,000 down to $54,600. Basically, we did that by doing two things. Number one, we're not going to run banners on their websites. Mm-hmm. Our analytics people at Mannix found it wasn't doing anything for us. And these are half-page ads, which if you're on a computer, it's easier to read a half-page ad instead of a full-page ad anyway, in my humble opinion. So the audit committee thought that was a wise way to cut back. And then, you know, we have the discretionary spending for special events, and a lot of times those are, we'll get requests from Finger Lakes Thoroughbred Adoption Program to support one or more of their events, and that's where that money goes. Anyone have any questions on this?
What does the live consist of?
The live consists of, well, they may be changing who carries it, but it's a broadcast that's on both Madison Square Garden Network and the Fox Sports Channel. And one of the things that Jeff actually asked them for was that they stop allowing the Pennsylvania breeders to go on during those live broadcasts and promote their program, which they did in kind of a roundabout way by going to a local carrier. So from now on, they're going to have a proviso that, you know, unless someone is paying NYRA directly, other state groups can't come in and advertise and try to promote their states basically over ours, because our interests at NYRA and the breeding fund are really the same in terms of wanting to produce more foals and, you know, get more horses into the starting gate down the road.
So what is our message consist of? What are we getting for the $75,000?
Well, in addition to running ads, which we usually pay Tom Durkin to voice, which is a very, you know, recognized voice of authority to represent the breeding fund, the announcers do pay special attention to things that are happening here. Also, I work with Sony Stark of Pilot Girl Productions, which is a minority women business enterprise, to create videos that they run on their site. So some products actually that we made for our website, NYRA actually ran them 2 and 3 times to a national audience that they reach.
And they describe the fund and they say what it's about?
Well, they talk, yes.
No, I'll just add if I can.
Sure.
So,
please,
excuse me, today I have a two sick children, so which means I'm sick. So Saratoga and Belmont Live is the national television broadcast that Niagara's created in the last essentially 2 to 3 years that ironically has become the number one racing show in America. They've received national media credentials for it. And it's broadcast nationally on Fox Sports.
Yeah, I've seen the show. The show is excellent.
It is. It really is. And so it's like the prime placement for us to be promoting New York Breads and the fund and breeding here. And it's obviously a natural fit. And they're, you know, as Tracy mentioned, they're very open to whatever the fund wants to do in terms of putting it out there, but their television commercials is what this airs. This spend is for TV. The content of the ad is promoting New York breeding.
So we prepare the message.
It's 100. We develop the message. It's 100% controlled by the fund.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
I have a question. What is the Florida Thoroughbred Farm Managers line?
That we take a full page ad in that. And it's one of the few times that they will allow New York anything to be advertised in Florida. They have, for example, newspapers down there that cater to the pinhooking crowd. They won't take our ads. So, and it's for charity. So the Capstone Graphics doesn't even charge to create the ad because it is for charity. This is a way to raise money for people who work on the farms in Florida who are in need.
It's not part of the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders. The Farm Makers Club is totally different. They do a lot of charity work. They give to all the churches and the you know community in general that you know does good things for children and you know, things of that nature.
So
it's totally separated.
Interesting. Just
it's not part of the breeding.
In Florida, and I didn't know, I mean, which sounds like a great plan is to go to states where they have an industry and tell them what New York has. So, I mean, Florida, but I'm assuming there's probably some other states that could get an inroad in. It might be worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Well, the national broadcast, you know, is watched by people all across America and especially in certain breeding states. We used to advertise with a weekly show that broadcast in Florida and Maryland, but watching it this past year, they really paid scant attention to New York, whereas in the past, they would, you know, remind them every week, can you do something, you know, promote this profile of this New York bread? And this year, they fell behind on that, so we did not renew that.
Yeah, those large spends on here are all targeted towards national publications,
right.
So they're reaching every single one of those. That's why those are the high spends, is that those publications and television broadcasts are broadcasting all the other state outlets that we want to target, for sure.
Yeah, and also with the with NIRA, the Belmont Saratoga Live shows, we do have a written contract with them. With the Thoroughbred Daily News, they actually don't have us sign a contract. They give us their rate card, and if you're planning doing a whole year, but if we became unhappy with our advertising in them, we could simply say, Sue, we're not happy with the advertising, Sue's Finley, and stop spending.
Any other questions about the promotional budget? I'll take a motion to approve the 2018 promotional budget as outlined in item number 4. Motion by Commissioner Sample, second by Mr. Graziano. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved. Moving on to item number 5, consideration of the 2017 and 18 purse enrichment. Director Tracy.
We received a letter from NIRA on October 24th via email, and we shared it, of course, with Kyle and the chairman. And basically, our response to NIRA on this letter was that we were going to share this information with the entire board and get back to them after the board meeting. They were asking us for two things. First, they wanted insight into how much money is sitting in the horseman's account at the Finger Lakes, which I don't think we really have that insight to provide that answer, but also to request that we provide them $600,000 for 2017 and $600,000 for 2018. They admit in this letter that they had backed off on asking for that as part of the term sheet agreement, which the fund was part of and signed, in order to keep the Finger Lakes racetrack operating. So what Jill has just told us, we're going to have a $100,000 surplus, which wouldn't even provide us sufficient funds to go back and provide more money to NIRA, which she just mentioned we paid them $1 million this year. Correct?
We paid them for 2016.
Yeah, but we actually delivered the money, yes.
Do they have any, I mean, obviously you're asking the question, but what's their ability to ask where the fund, tell where the fund goes, but to influence where the monies that go to Finger Lakes, it really, it's up to this board, correct?
Well, yeah. Say it again.
A little more complicated.
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to get the relation. I mean, I understand that we do some for NIRA and then we do some for Finger Lakes.
Right. But this year we were told that we didn't have to do it that way because there was a need for the Finger Lakes racetrack to keep operating because it was predicting, I think, a 30% to 40% decline in revenues at Delaware North because of the location of the Del Lago Casino. It turns out the loss hasn't been that great. It's been less than 30%, which I believe then required Delaware North to provide $1 million to the Horseman's Purse account, since they weren't hit as badly by Del Lago.
And then the connection with NIRA, I understand all that,
yeah.
But then the connection with NIRA calling the question.
So the quick history lesson, if I could, was a year ago, essentially is when it started, a year ago, Finger Lakes went to the state with this whole situation. And at the time, the fund had last year's surplus, which was roughly a little over $2 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, about 2.5.
About 2.5, okay. Out of the 2.5, the fund distributed all of that in purse enrichment, which went 60% to Finger Lakes, 40% to NIRA, per the term sheet that the Gaming Commission and state worked out. On top of that, the fund designated this year's purse enrichment, according to this term sheet, 100% allocated to Finger Lakes, which was $1.5 million. So Finger Lakes got 60% of 2.5 and then 100% of 1.5. And NIRA, so the year fast forward, still the fall, it became public information or awareness with interested parties that Finger Lakes had $1 million+ surplus in their own purse account for this year. NIRA sent this letter subsequently on October 24th stating that Finger Lakes has this surplus of monies, you know, what's the accounting behind this? Hence where we are today.
Okay.
But that's the situation, I guess, from backwards to where we are now.
Has the entire 2017 purse enrichment been paid out?
Last quarter has not been paid. Excuse me. Finger Lakes, through Mike Struzik, has asked us to pay the final quarter.
And that's worth how much, you said?
$375. $125 each month. If I could just add a little bit to that, on that one attachment that you got for item number 5, there's a schedule that shows the Finger Lakes term sheet, and it's got a couple of different reports and schedules on it. If you look in the blue box that's on the right, the middle right side of that, that's the money that was budgeted for the year in 2017. So there's the $900,000 that we normally would have given Finger Lakes that we had budgeted for, the $600,000 that we in the past had given to NIRA, but we were getting Finger Lakes this year. One half of the 2016 supplemental, we gave them $1.5 million. The term sheet said you would spend half of it in 17 and half of it in 18. And then there's a small breakage amount. So they had a budget for 2017 for restricted races fund money of $2.3 million. The top schedule on that sheet shows the $2.3 million that was budgeted, and shows how it was used. So the Finger Lakes racing season ended the end of November, so they're done for the year. And they did spend 100%, they actually spent 112% of the money that the fund had budgeted or distributed to them for the year. You'll see there's a $2.666 million. And then just to complicate things a little bit more, on the bottom left schedule shows Finger Lakes total purses. So here you'll actually see Finger Lakes in 2017, their open company purses, they spent $11 million versus $13 million in 2016. And then you see on the restricted races, the Finger Lakes portion, the fund portion, and shows a spend of a little over $5 million. So in total, Finger Lakes in 2017 spent $16 million versus $17 million last year. But if you look at the restricted piece, they actually contributed a little bit more, about 4% more this year in the restricted races. The fund obviously contributed a significant amount more. We contributed 131% more than we had. But I think the takeaway from this is that Finger Lakes had an issue last in 2017, and the fund stepped in per the term sheet. And the races, the Finger Lakes racing did decrease. There's another chart here that shows that there were actually 146 less races in Finger Lakes this year than last year. 8 less racing days, but the good news is that the restricted piece wasn't affected. Those awards continued to be paid out. The number of races were comparable to 2017. They didn't take a big hit. The races that were canceled, of that 146 races, the majority of those were the smaller claiming races. So you've got two pieces of the whole purse. You've got Finger Lakes gets their money from Delaware North, from Del Lago, from us, from different sources. As far as the piece that we had agreed to, in my opinion, it was spent where we said it was going to be spent.
In addition, when they had say they spent through our money, they continued to provide that $7,000 extra for a New York sired horse finishing first in a maiden special weight, whether it was a restricted maiden special weight or an open maiden special weight.
Yeah.
And those were the best races that they conducted at Finger Lakes in terms of the number of starters and the handle. Jeff has a study of that somewhere.
And that's a good point, Tracy, because that was a program that when we were discussing the term sheet and the budget, the fund board wanted that $7,000 bonus included. Originally, it wasn't part of the Finger Lakes budget. And they agreed to do that, and they set aside about $273,000 to be used towards that $7,000 payout based on prior experience, the prior year history. And it actually came up, there was $434,000 that was paid out on those $7,000 bonus races. So they didn't discontinue it once it hit that $273 mark. They continued it, and they actually, continued to fund it for an extra $160,000.
I got a couple questions. So in this blue square, mm-hmm. It says that they budgeted half of the supplement from last year, $761,000.
Correct.
Did we pay them the full supplement?
They received full cash.
They just haven't utilized those funds for next year.
Exactly.
It's in a segregated account for next year.
So technically, the $375,000 that remains to be paid to them per the agreement is for this year's purse enrichment money.
Mm-hmm. It's for what we had budgeted for 2017 of that 900 and the 600. It's October, November, December payouts.
And then my last question is...
Excuse me, Jeff. Didn't they send us an email saying what they're going to spend that 375 on? that they needed the money to pay?
They said that that checks could bounce if they didn't get that money right away.
Checks to whom?
Checks to the horsemen. So we pay them on a monthly basis. So by the time they sent to us, we were 1 month behind. We hadn't paid October, because we generally pay October, then November, then December. They were asking for the whole quarter at once. And Jill's suggestion to them was, you know, that $761,000, you know, take some of that money, and then when we do pay the final amount,
right,
just make that account whole.
They were arguing about, you know, needing the money in order to pay the bills. It's like, well, you're sitting on, you know, $761,000 of ours anyway, so gotcha. You have the money.
Right.
And that was your point, right, Jeff?
That's my point. And then I guess my last question to this would be a follow-up. Per the term sheet that the fund entered here in front of us this past spring, I guess, this calls for next year for Finger Lakes to receive 100% of the person victims as well, correct?
Yes.
Which is $1.5 million more. Mm-hmm.
And nothing would go to NYRA?
Not according to this term sheet.
So, I'm sorry for the very basic question, but back when the decision was made, because the situation Finger Lakes was in, was that decision to go beyond the 40% that they had traditionally received, was that a statutory, some of the legislative discussions or the executive discussions, or was that a fund decision to go beyond the 40 and to redirect NYRA's person enrichment to Finger Lakes?
Phil wants to make a point.
We also, you may recall that we established that this is person enrichment money. And at the time, I think memory serves correct, NYRA had refused to take our $600,000 and use it the way that we had asked.
Excuse me, Phil. Kyle just reminded me, in view of the letter that we received from NYRA and the potential for litigation here, that we might want to take this discussion in executive session.
Do you want to do that now or later in the meeting?
Do we have any other items for executive session?
Yes.
Yes.
Then
why not,
however you want to do it.
Yeah. Then why don't we just move on to the next item and we'll continue this in executive session, unless anybody has any objections. Item number 6, report from the Ad Hoc Committee on Rule Changes. Jeff and Joe, who wants to take this? Joe, Jeff?
I'll go first, and Jeff and I talked about this earlier this morning. As a result of some rumblings in the stallion sector of the business mostly, there was a lot of complaints that New York sire and New York breeds were being supported by New York stallions or by New York breeders, and that the sales here at Phasing Tipton, the New York sire product, was not well received. So there was general discontent with the stallion people, as there has been the last 3 years. We've had this exercise now 3 years in a row. So to that end, we organized a committee, and we met at the NYTB office about 2.5 weeks ago, and we tried to come up with some identify the problems first, and secondly, try to plug the holes in. It was a good meeting. It was well attended by most all the stallion farms in the state. There was a smattering of breeders there too that had opinions about it. It was a very, very productive meeting from a participation point. It went on for about 5 hours. Probably the biggest issue here is the complaint is that New York stallions are getting less and less participation from New York breeders. The sales company here at Phasing Tipton is taking less and less New York sired horses. So that's making breeders use the out-of-state stallions more and more. So that's the crux of the matter, that steins are not getting big books and that they're feeling pressured. And also there seems to be, there was a long discussion about how many stud fees are actually collected for steins that are standing the state, and that led to, you know, a whole different dialogue, which I guess we're going to. Anyway, at the end of the day, we asked the attendees, what do you want? What do you think is going to help your situation here? And to that end, we came up with three things that we thought, or that they thought were things that the fund could look at. Jeff and I can go over these together. The first and foremost thing, I'll tell you what it was that from the farms, they said, well, we'd like to have a rule change about residency for mayors visiting New York State for the first time. As the rule stands, if a mayor comes in from another jurisdiction in full, she has to be bred back to a New York stallion, unless she comes very early in the breeding season, 90 days for last day of service. So that's viewed as a impediment to business, because a lot of folks in Kentucky who buy mares out of the Kentucky sales and the Maryland sale and the Fasig Tipton sale can't bring those mares into New York the first year because they don't feel they have stallions that are worthy of breeding those mares to. So they leave them out of state. So the state, our state, loses revenue from board. All the services that go along with that become negative. So the question was, can we rescind the law that says that a first-year mare has to be bred back to a New York stallion? So that's one discussion. Out of that, we probably have a suggestion.
It's a rule, by the way.
It's a rule.
Yeah.
And that's something that Kyle needs to tell us about it, if it's a rule or if it's,
yeah,
or if it's a law. The proposed change would be that if a mayor comes out of an authorized auction, she can come to New York State within 10 days and become a resident mayor, have her foal in New York State, and that would be registerable as long as the breeder of that foal agreed to return the mare back to New York State after being covered outside of the state in the year of foaling and foal again in the following year. So that's the rule change. Have I got that right, Jeff?
Almost all the way, yes. I think
the rule change.
It was
15 days
was the only point.
Which is
mark
like what difference the rule is now.
And we're only talking about mares through public auction. Right. So let me give a caveat to this. The issue that our industry has here is that, you know, there's declining foal crops, there's less horses in racing. Creates a problem for Naira. Creates a problem for Finger Lakes, hurts our breeding landscape. You know, we want more people in New York is the point. So one of the longstanding issues is that people, in theory, have not bought brood mares out of sales and brought them to New York, which is that's how people acquire mares, is you buy them, right? The reason that hasn't happened as we'd like is because we force them into going to our New York stallion population. And there's a lot of reasons why people don't do that, obviously. So the thought was, is how can we get more people here quickly versus 5 years from now? And it would be relaxing this rule such that if you bought a mare through auction, you could come into New York State if you followed the guidelines. And oh, by the way, had multiple foals in doing so.
But that's do you know when that rule was imposed?
You probably can answer that better than me.
It's evolved a few different times.
So I assume that the purpose of it was to do exactly what we're trying to do now, right?
The 80s, I'm going to guess.
So somebody in the 80s thought this would be a good idea, a way to get more people to come to New York.
Correct. And it's
it's had the opposite effect.
It's 100% true. And then on top of that, our business today is not even remotely what it was like in the 80s. So as we've evolved and kind of opened our doors and bumped quality,
mm-hmm.
the rule hasn't necessarily allowed people to really come in.
Gotcha.
So the mayor would, after 15, out-of-state auction or whatever, mm-hmm. comes in, where they are in full when they're purchased, but how long is they required to stay in New York until they give birth, they fold, and then they can go back out and get bred outside of the mm-hmm. state, but they have to come back in and stay. So what time?
Within 90 days of their last cover, just like with our current rule for non-resident mayors.
Right. So any mayor that partakes in our program, technically the easiest way to look at it is technically only out of state for 3 months, 90 days, unless they're just coming in, which doesn't happen often, and leaving. Mm-hmm. So that's... they'd follow the same foundation of the rule. We'd be essentially relaxing it for mayors that are sold through auction, which is right now we're getting next to none, right? The question is how this is something that I think realistically we can measure and track. And I know Tracy wanted to comment on this part of it too, was her idea, on how successful it could be or not be. Meaning, this is a rule that I think the board could essentially follow for a year or two and see how it works. Because technically it could have no effect, right? I highly doubt that, but or it could have a great effect.
My idea was to have the board be the final arbiter as to whether we kick that in every year or not. So that, at the August board meeting, for example, we would look back at the numbers that came in January. Did it help us? Did it hurt us? Do we feel it's going to continue to help us? And then the board makes an informed decision as to whether, okay, we're going to relax that rule again. It's a way to get better quality mayors into the state, and eventually they'll work their way out and about to, other owners.
So the rule would only be in effect for a year?
I think this is just my idea, that the board should have the power on an annual basis whether it's going to allow that to happen or not.
Phil?
The breeders, I've talked to a lot of breeders, and they are very certain that we should try this, because the problem is that if the current roster of stallions anywhere outside of Kentucky is less expensive and not as commercial. And so it's very difficult for any New York breeder to buy a $75,000 mare, bring it to the state under the current rules. And that's a handicap for us. And so I think that we should experiment, and we should try this out, because I think New York breeders will be able to have the freedom to go to the stallions they wish to go to, yet have these horses on our land. I think it's a worthwhile experiment, and we should make it a priority.
How does stallion owners feel about your stallion?
Yeah, that's
not real.
What I'm wondering is from the agricultural perspective, as long as the mare's in foal and she's on New York ground, she's there for, the entire time she's pregnant, I would think we'd be supportive. But what about the requirement you're removing is that she has to be bred back to a New York stallion?
That's correct.
You can try, and by you force people to go to a mm-hmm. list of the stallions, it always limits your economic supply and demand. The all states outside of Kentucky are faced with the same problem. We have too few mares, and the stallions that we have can't support this few number. And so, the market is less commercial for New York stallions, and the breeders who are making a lot of investments in their bloodstock, they have to have commercial stallions, and so it feeds upon itself. It's hard when you have a small population of broodmares to support stallions in any state outside of Kentucky.
Yeah, it's a good question, Jackie, because that that is the group that has a negative comment back to it, is that, you know, well, what do you, and that really the impetus of the whole meeting was the Stanley people stating about the state of the business.
Oh, Jesus. So,
right away it becomes, oh, let's do this.
Right, right, right. That's the irony to this.
They're in business.
But we did have that's one thing. And I mean, from a Stein person's point of view, I kind of think that I'd like to see the real numbers for how many mayors came into the state last year. I'd really like to see that. How many new mayors came into the state last year? Or how many have come in over the last 3 years?
I don't have in the top of my head, but we do have.
I would like to see that number before I had a real strong opinion about this. But if we were going to do that, there's potential to impact Stallions negatively, sure, without a doubt, because it's hard enough to get mayors now. We don't have anything that says you have to use New York Stallions except that one thing. So it's whether or not it would be a real beneficial thing to the Stallions is pretty questionable to me. But in further discussion with this meeting, we talked about a lot of other things. One of the things that we discussed was doing somehow added value to the Stallions that are in New York. Now, added value that's something that's pretty interesting. We tried it at Finger Lakes last year with the $7,000 bonus by saying any New York Stallion horse who breaks its maiden at Finger Lakes gets a $7,000 bonus. It did very well. Their handle was up, their entries were up, it was a plus-plus. And we're hoping that it also fuels the Stallion business. So Martin Panza was at the meeting, and his concern is, as Jeff said before, we don't have enough entries. We don't have enough horses to fill races. We want you guys to do more things to encourage people to come into the state. So he's all for this rule to bring in mares and let them go without your back. To the extent that he's willing to say, okay, we'll pay a bonus on maiden races for New York's Iron Horses. So has some merit, because it has worked at Finger Lakes. We do know that it worked. And if we could trade off some other things to be able to fund that, then it might become worth the risk. Then it may become. Jeff? Right.
No, I agree. I think the whole, anything that we potentially do, I think has to touch all aspects of our industry. Like, we can't create more silos that we're not helping the Stallions by penalizing them to help the commercial breeders. So I think that there's trade-offs that need to be made to this whole plan. And, you know, we talked about, too, the gaming news is that 90-day proposed rulemaking comment period.
That's required, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's after we hone it down.
Correct. I mean, I think that's, I'm just throwing this out. Yeah. I think that's critical, because you're going to get more feedback from people that we haven't talked to.
So the timing would be to get a draft in place that the board approves, and to get that published, and then get all the comments from all the affected parties. And then after that, to discuss those comments and take a final vote.
Yeah, I think the fund, I think among us, before we're willing to take that step, we have to look how we're going to fund this $15,000 bonus, which is the number that they said at NIRA. That's what Martin brought up. Right. I think that's a critical part of this thing. So you would be in favor of changing
the rule on the bread bags without getting the $15,000.
Right.
I think you got
to have to do them both.
You got to do them both. I think they're very linked.
Well, we can't do the 15,000. Oh, I shouldn't say you can do whatever you want, but I would suggest that we don't put something in stone where we have to do the 15,000 every year, or you don't know how much money we're going to have.
I agree. I think Tracy's approach to say we review this every year in July or August, I don't think that's a...
We could review the money part, but I don't think we should review the bread back every year. I mean, that would be very unmanageable. People don't know whether or not they have to do it until we have a meeting. Who knows?
Well, it would be in advance of the autumn sales. It's the autumn sales where they sell the brood mares.
Even the bonus, though, right? I mean, don't you want to know that bonus would be there for New York?
That's a bigger concern to me.
We can't do that one year and then next year.
That to me is a bigger problem in this thing. To say,
if there was
okay,
a problem, you could always repeal the rule.
Well, one of the things we
have a rule that requires us every year to determine whether or not breeders are going to have to be able to bring them back to another state. It seems very unwieldy to me.
It is unwieldy, and we're not breeding rabbits here. This is a 3 or 4 year relationship. So
exactly. They have to be able to plan.
People need to plan, and stallion owners deserve to know what their investments are yielding and what programs are supporting them. So I think it should be debated every year because we, as our oversight, is critical. But
certainly,
we should give this a its fair run.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think that they're linked things, and I think if you're talking about a large amount of money that's going to have to come from somewhere to pay for this bonus, that becomes a critical part of it. More critical than maybe the idea of that it's a rule that we have discretion over on a yearly basis. Well, I'm not wild about that, but I'm even less wild about the chance that we don't have the money to do this.
There's going to be pushback from the stallions on the rule. So, that's where the subsequent, back to Joe's original point, there were three things out of the meeting. One was this mirror rule concept. The second was what we were just alluding to, doing a New York sired bonus that essentially mirrored what we did at Finger Lakes all year, but we're doing it at NYRA. So if you have a New York sired foal and it runs in a maiden special weight race and breaks its maiden, you get paid a bonus, and the dollar amount that NYRA threw out, Martin Panza, was $15,000. Ironically, there was about 60 of them last year. So that puts the figure at like 900, or again, we're just talking in theory, what it would cost to fund something like that. That was the second concept. And the whole point of that concept is that if you make New York sired horses worth more money on the racetrack, breeders might breed to those stallions, owners may buy those foals to race them. And that's the whole theory there. So, and NYRA is, you know, verbally agreed to looking at that too. And then the third piece of the meeting was just the whole award structure in general. In terms of, there's a lot of debate about owners' awards that the fund does, and then there's a lot of debate about stallion awards that the fund does. And I think realistically, both of those areas are long-term dialogues that the fund realistically needs to have in terms of, is what we're doing effective? You know, are we really creating as much economic change as we could be with the money that we're distributing? But those are the three pieces of the awards, or three pieces of the committee meeting that were done, and they are all, unfortunately, interconnected.
I'm on the committee as well at the meeting. The issue, the confusion I had was NYRA saying, oh, we should have 15,000. But what is NYRA's commitment on that part? Are they just to do what, other than to tell us how to spend money? I wasn't sure that they actually agreed
to
anything.
I don't know if you call this a quid pro quo. I guess you do. But Martin Panza said, you get me my money back that you took from me and gave to Finger Lakes, and I'm going to push this rule or this program to the racing committee. So that he was very blunt about it. That's what he said. He said, you do that, I'll do this.
That brings us into the executive session. That brings us into the executive session again. So I think to move this item along, what I would suggest is that Kyle prepare a draft that we can distribute to all the members, a draft proposed rule change. And with that, Tracy could provide you with those numbers, Joe, that you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to save some time, we can do it through the mail. Everyone could let Kyle and Tracy know whether or not they approve that for proposal purposes, just to get it out there and send it out to all the interested players as a proposed role and get their comments so we can consider that at a later meeting. That's acceptable?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you'll do that, Kyle?
Absolutely.
And then I'll take a motion to go into executive session.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Canizzo, second by Senator Nolan. Anyone object? We'll move right into executive session.